All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going to be diving into something really, really interesting. A case from 2018, a Washington State Supreme Court case, Cornwell versus Microsoft.
Oh yeah.
I think this is going to be a fascinating deep dive for you, the listener, because we're tackling a really important question that comes up a lot under Washington's law against discrimination, WLAD.
Yeah.
And that is, how much does an employer actually need to know about your, past protected activity in order for a retaliation claim to, like, actually hold up in court?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've got the court's opinion itself. We've got some analysis to help us unpack it. Should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think this is really insightful. I mean, it gives us a really good view of how courts are interpreting these retaliation laws and what kind of evidence they're going to find persuasive. So we're going to be focusing on Dawn Cornwell's situation and her history of a gender discrimination lawsuit against Microsoft years before this particular case becomes really a key backdrop to the story.
Yeah, so years before this actual case comes about, you know, Cornwell had settled a gender discrimination lawsuit with Microsoft. And as part of that settlement, there was this agreement that she wouldn't be required to report to a specific former supervisor.
Right.
Fast forward, and she finds herself reassigned, it seems like, in a way that kind of goes against that agreement, kind of puts her back in the orbit of this team, the supervisor's team. And when she raises concerns about this reassignment, things take a bit of a turn.
Right. And so after she objects to the reassignment, the sequence of events here is really crucial.
Yeah.
She has these interactions with two new managers, Marianne Blake and Nicole McKinley.
Hmm.
And it's in these interactions where this knowledge of her prior protected activity comes into play.
So how did Cornwell, like, bring this up to Blake? My understanding is that she informed Blake about, a past lawsuit involving a male supervisor and a review score. So she didn't, like, give a detailed, play-by-play of the gender discrimination claim, but she made it clear that there had been this this prior legal action.
Yeah, and that level of detail is really important. She didn't explicitly label it as a gender discrimination lawsuit
mm-hmm.
to Blake. You know, she provided some information, but the specific grounds under WLAD, weren't necessarily spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
And as we'll see, this becomes a significant point in the dissenting opinion later.
Okay, so she mentions this past legal situation, and almost immediately after that, like pretty much right after that, there's a noticeable shift in her performance reviews.
Mm-hmm.
For years, she'd been receiving consistently positive feedback. But suddenly, after Blake learns about this lawsuit, she gets the lowest possible rating.
Oh, wow.
Like the lowest.
Yeah.
Even though her peers were still giving her positive feedback.
Right.
And her managers, like, disregarded that.
That's it. Overrode it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge change.
It's a stark contrast.
Yeah.
And this is, for you listening, this sudden downturn right after the manager learns about this prior legal action is a key piece of what we call circumstantial evidence.
Mm.
And it really suggests this potential connection, right, between her protected activity and this adverse employment action that she experiences.
Yeah, and the story continues. So following these negative reviews, Cornwell was eventually laid off as part of a workforce reduction. But even after the layoff, she really tried to get back into Microsoft, applied for over 170 internal positions.
Wow.
But was denied every single time. And the reason they cited was that negative performance record, the one that suddenly appeared
right
after she disclosed her past protected activity.
Yeah, that really highlights the lasting impact of these negative reviews. For you, it shows that the consequences weren't just limited to the layoff itself. It even affected her future employment prospects at that same company. So this is a pretty concerning picture, right, of these potential long-term repercussions, linked to this whole sequence of events.
So you might be wondering, why did the lower courts initially side with Microsoft? Well, their argument was basically that Cornwell couldn't definitely prove that her managers actually knew about the gender discrimination aspect of her lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
But the Washington Supreme Court disagreed. They reversed that decision.
Yeah.
So to understand the core of this ruling, what was the, like, central legal question that they were looking at?
Yeah, the central legal question is, it revolves around how much does an employer need to know about an employee's protected activity to establish that crucial link, what we call causation, in a retaliation claim under WLAD, right? So the standard that the courts have been using was actual knowledge, meaning that whoever's making that decision, that adverse employment decision, had to have this direct knowledge of the specific protected activity.
Mm.
But the Supreme Court decides to move away from this more strict standard.
Okay, so what'd they move to? What's the new standard?
So they adopted what we call the new or suspected standard. Okay. So this means that an employer can be held liable for retaliation if they knew or reasonably suspected that the employee had engaged in that protected activity. So it's a little bit broader than just requiring actual knowledge.
Okay, so let's unpack this new or suspected standard. Okay. Why did they make this change?
Well, the majority of the court reasoned that the new or suspected standard is actually more in line with like the fundamental purpose of WLAD, which is to prevent discrimination and retaliation in the workplace. And they recognize that requiring this absolute proof of actual knowledge could create this loophole.
Mm-hmm.
For you, this means employers might try to avoid learning the specifics of your protected activity, right? But still act with that retaliatory intent based on some suspicion. So this new standard kind of aims to close that potential loophole.
Yeah, it makes sense. So even if your manager doesn't have all the details, but they have a suspicion that you engaged in protected activity and then they take a negative action against you, that could be grounds for retaliation now. So in Cornwell's case specifically, what evidence did the court point to in support of the standard?
Well, they relied pretty heavily on what's called circumstantial evidence. And they highlighted a couple of key factors. First, what we call temporal proximity. So essentially that close timing between when Blake learns about the lawsuit and then Cornwell receiving that really negative review. Second, they talk about what we call anomalous evaluation. Mm-hmm. It's just a fancy way of saying it. There's this significant difference between her history of positive performance and then this sudden, drastically negative review.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that the managers went against the positive feedback from her colleagues.
Right.
And then third, they emphasized that Blake and McKinley, who were involved in the negative evaluation, did have this actual knowledge of the lawsuit itself, even if they didn't know all the details about the gender discrimination claim.
Yeah.
So they rejected Microsoft's argument that because HR may not have had all the specifics, they were shielded from liability.
So, you know, HR may not have had a detailed record, but the fact that the managers making the evaluations knew about a lawsuit was enough, especially with that suspicious timing, that strange review.
Right, exactly. And the court also reaffirmed what's called the substantial factor test for causation under WLAD. And this just means that retaliation doesn't have to be the only reason for the negative action against you. It just needs to be a significant or substantial factor in their decision-making process. So this also kind of makes it easier for employees to bring those retaliation claims.
So there was a dissenting opinion. Pretty common. Justice Gonzalez, he agreed with the new or suspected standard, but he disagreed with how it was applied in Cornwell's situation. What was his main point?
Yeah, so his dissent really focuses on the lack of evidence showing that Cornwell's managers knew or even suspected that her prior lawsuit was specifically about gender discrimination, you know, which is the protected activity under WLAD for which she was claiming this retaliation. He argues that just saying a lawsuit involving a male supervisor and a review score is way too vague. You know, a lawsuit like that could have been based on all sorts of things, right? Like a breach of contract, a tort claim. He pointed that out.
So knowing about a lawsuit doesn't mean knowing or suspecting it was about, like, gender discrimination.
Exactly. His concern, and it's a really valid one, is that this standard, you know, shouldn't be interpreted so broadly that just knowing about any past legal action, regardless of what it was about, could automatically lead to a successful retaliation claim.
So it's not enough that they know you did something. They need to know or suspect that you engaged in activity protected by WLAD.
Right. Exactly. He says without that, you know, the worry is that employers could be held liable for negative actions, even if they had no real reason to believe the employee had engaged in conduct that was protected by these laws.
So why does this matter for you, listener? What are the implications of this standard for employees and employers in Washington?
So for employees in Washington, this ruling definitely gives you stronger protections. It lowers the bar for alleging retaliation under WLAD, right? You don't have to prove they had this direct, detailed knowledge of your protected activity, showing that they reasonably knew or suspected it, especially with that suspicious timing, that inconsistent treatment, that can be enough.
And for employers, what changes might they need to make?
Well, this ruling really places a greater responsibility on employers to make sure there's fairness and transparency in their decision making. You know, especially when negative actions happen after they become aware of employees' past complaints or legal actions, employers need to be really aware of even just the appearance of retaliation.
Right.
For those of you in management roles, this probably means more thorough record keeping, especially with performance issues, making sure that performance standards are applied consistently across the board. and maybe some more in-depth training for managers on what exactly is protected activity.
Right.
And the nuances of potential retaliation.
Yeah. So the big takeaway here is Cornwell versus Microsoft. It's broadened these retaliation protections in Washington. Employers can be held liable even if they only suspected you had engaged in protected activity, especially when you couple that with those negative employment actions that happen right after.
Yeah, that's a great summary.
So think about the implications of this shift, listener. You know, how might this new or suspected standard affect things moving forward? How might it affect workplace dynamics, legal strategies in these types of cases, not just in Washington, but maybe even beyond? What questions does this raise for you about, you know, how you prove intent, the role of circumstantial evidence? This is a big ruling, yeah. A lot to think about.
Absolutely. And I think it leaves us with this question of this delicate balance between protecting employees from retaliation, right, and ensuring that employers aren't held liable based on just mere speculation or these weak connections to protected activity. So the legal framework's always evolving. And I think Cornwell v. Microsoft marks this really interesting point in that evolution.
Well, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.